I remember a preacher last Sunday morning just lambasting folks about coming in late. And telling everybody between now and the end of the year, just try it. Just get here early and be in your seat primed and ready to worship Jesus before the first strum of the guitar is heard. Do you remember that guy? Yeah, I'm telling you, you say anything up here, it'll come back to bite you. That's all I'm telling you. We were visiting with new friends in the office, Debbie and I, and simply lost track of time, but it is my delight now to introduce those friends to you. Steve and Becky Preston are longtime servants of Christ who have recently relocated from California, the land of fruits and nuts, to California. I said to myself, don't say that, Kent, but the words came out anyway. I'm so sorry. We sure know how to throw out the welcome mat, don't we? Here's your amen opportunity. They've relocated to the great state of Kansas. Woohoo! And I will let Steve and Becky fill you in greater detail on the specifics of their call, but they are committed to building presence and relationship with the 180,000 people that make up the car culture in Kansas. And if you know me, you know why that mission resonates in my heart. And I just want to encourage you to welcome Steve and Becky open-heartedly as they share their vision for what Christ has dropped in their hearts with us. Come on, Steve, would you? Welcome him, please.
Thank you, Pastor. I would say you got one thing wrong. It's Flakes, Fruits, and Nuts. You got to get it right. See if I can make this thing turn on so that I can have a message. If not, you get to hear me rattle for an hour and a half. Because that's how long Pastor said that I have. And that's cool. I like it when pastors are generous. You know that video, I was sitting there thinking, what in the world does this have to do with church? But I was going back to when I was 9 years old. The town we lived in, we had a high dive in the public pool. It was 450 feet high. Well, it was probably 20 feet high, but when you're 9 years old. And I used to do diving just like that. Well, it was a little different because I never figured out how to dive. I always belly flopped. So I was the record cannonball holder for the 8-year-old class. I just got to say. So that made me feel, yeah, I could always make the biggest splash. And, so, you know, I've got to say, Becky and I have been and by the way, Becky, will be at the back door. You've got like 14 back doors, so choose one. And she'll be at one of them. And she will be giving you, our prayer card if you'll take it and a little information card that covers the kind of stuff I'm going to cover today. Just so you'll remember not us, but the 180,000 car guys in Kansas that, desperately need prayer covering. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But I got to say, that we've been in about 300 different Assemblies of God churches in the last 12 years. And I can tell you, this is the coolest backdrop I've ever seen. This is awesome. And the fact that you've got, I believe, a Ford steering wheel makes it all the better. Although I'm not recognizing some of that stuff. It might be GM, but we'll pray for you. one of our friends has a large church that has a big car show, and he's a Mopar guy. So anytime I ever miss, yeah, where's that? Where's the Mopar guy? That red Dodge out front kind of got me going a little bit. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about our ministry and what God has called us to, away from Southern California to do. And if we'll hit the slide, Abby, right? Okay, Abby, if you'll hit the slide, you'll see that. In the middle there, you'll see some car that looks vaguely familiar to Pastor, at least. Car guys are people that drive antiques and classics and street rods. That red Ranchero there that you see is ours. Race cars, they go to car shows. My goodness, you people have car shows. There's 12 car shows every weekend that we get to pick from, and it's awesome. So, but it stretches not just the guys that have the hobby cars. The guy, Becky had a conversation with a guy at a car show last Sunday that was, he bought a 57 Chevy in late 56. And he kept that thing all until this very day, and he still drives it. It's a beautiful car. He's a car guy. So that guy that has that old Galaxy, that it's like, get it out of the road. It's just so old and big. And yet he takes care of everything. The car guys, 180,000 car guys in here in Kansas. If you hit the slide again, Abby. Hit it again so the video starts. Yeah, that's a video. Okay, it's not a video, so I'll tell you what it does. Let me describe the video for you. So we see this, and we see these guys. There's a couple of older guys there. In fact, that guy in the gray shirt's the national president of the Falcon Club. Big deal, right? Okay, so you see there, that red spot over there is our ranchero, and you got all kinds of car guys and cars here in the crowd. But now, as the camera pans over and you look down that lane, you see a bunch of cars and a big Divco, an orange Divco bread truck. The guy makes great cakes, they tell me. And then right here, right about where the black is, that's a tea bucket. And there's a mom and her two little kids that are wandering around that tea bucket. So did you enjoy the video? What the video was meant to show you was car guys are young and old. Car guys are male and female. Car guys are grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads and kids. Typically, a car guy brings the whole family to these events. It's way cool. I can't believe. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this family in a couple minutes. But one couple we met yesterday, it was grandma and grandpa, son and grandson. And grandpa's been in terrible health. And grandson has been, grandma told us that grandson was the reason that grandpa even was still alive. Because they built this pickup truck together for the grandson. So that's what car guys are like. Car guys are very generous. If you'll hit the slide again. Car guys are very generous. Okay. That's got my mind. I've got two different pictures to look at. Which one am I supposed to look at? Oh, no. Oh, me. Oh, my. No, look at the top. Car guys are very, very, very giving. Most, like that event I just showed you on the video that you enjoyed so much, that was a fundraiser for the Association of Retarded Citizens. I always want to say retired, and that's two different things. Always raising money. Last Sunday we brought toys. We brought hundreds of toys for Toys for Tots. They're very generous people. As you see on the slide, that they're not likely to accept your invitation to church. And Abby, if you hit the slide again, you'll see why. Mostly they won't come to church because they're not anti-church or even anti-Jesus. They're just busy on Sunday. As I told you, there's about 12 car shows or cruises or events on the calendar all the way from, they tell me it starts in late March and goes all the way through. We're still in the season now. We've still got more car shows through the middle of November. So there's something going every Sunday. And if it's not a show or a run, it's a swap meet to buy parts for your car, or it's time to work on your car because you were out Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday. You just need to get the car ready for the next weekend. That's the way the car guys' lives work in that circle. So they're not anti-church. They're not anti-Jesus. They just won't come to church. So what happens is Becky and I, on your behalf, come to them. And if you hit the slide again, Abby, you'll see what it looks like kind of in our, you can kind of see that's our booth. When it's a big event like Devlin Starbird, which we intend to be involved in January, we'll set up our pop-up and we have our fancy stuff set up and our, Becky calls them our uniforms, our polo shirts and our ball caps. And we'll go and we'll present there. We'll be there all 4 days and people can come to us and we can chat and it's a great time. And what's really nice is behind the banner in the back, you can't really see it clearly, we always have set up two chairs. So that if somebody needs to talk, we can talk back there and they not be seen. Now that's cool, but what we do today is what we did yesterday. Yesterday, we just drove the Ranchero. You can go one more slide to the logo, Abby. What we did yesterday was we drove our car, entered it like any other entry. It's not that great. It'll never win anything, but we have fun with it. And then we just walk around and talk cars to people. And what was way cool, two things, I'll tell you two quick stories out of that adventure. One is that I got to talking to this guy that has his 55 Chevy. It's way cool. And we've talked a little bit about this, a little bit about that. And then on the course of time, he ended up being the guy that, you know, there's always one guy in the crowd that wants to make sure everybody knows each other. Well, this happened to be the guy. Before we were over, I got acquainted with most of the players on the field that day. And they meet for lunch every Wednesday at a certain restaurant in Wichita. Guess what? Where I'm going to be every Wednesday from now on. Meeting for lunch with those guys. Because they started telling me their life stories even yesterday. It's amazing when you can talk their language. See, it's a culture. It's like going to somewhere in Africa and learning the language and the culture there. It's the same thing with car guys. If you can talk the language and understand the culture and you've got authenticity, that's already a bridge that you can walk across and tell them about Jesus at some point. So we had that. That's way cool. I'm looking forward to those Friday gatherings. He told me about some other stuff too. But what was really neat was I walked up on Becky. She was busy talking to a lady, which is what she does a lot. She's busy. She's the socialite in the family. And so she was talking to this lady, and I figured, oh, well, they're probably talking about shoes or handbags or some sort of unimportant thing like that, ladies. And I heard the lady tell a list. She was finishing up the list of all the physical problems she's had. And then she mentioned that her husband had had 3 heart attacks. And that's when she said that her husband, that truck that we were sitting there talking about, was the thing that caused her husband to stay alive because he was building it for his grandson. And then she was talking, and then she came back. She said, you know, I've lived a lucky life. And then here's what she said. Believe it or not. She said, I just don't know if when it's over, I go to heaven or hell. Now, is that an opening line for something or what? Is that orchestrated by the Spirit or what? Is that something that happens because you know the culture and they're comfortable with you and you started by talking about cams and valve lifters and now you're talking about real things? That's kind of what Highway Chapel is all about. And when I think about Highway Chapel and our philosophy of ministry, yeah, we do the thing that you saw, the vendor booth and the big event thing. But really what we're about is we're about one-on-one talking to people, and it's going to be years. My closest friend is a guy that's in his middle 70s. He just acts like he's 80. Yeah, he's cranky. I'm going to slap the snot out of him sometimes. But he's so cranky and he's so mean to his wife. But yeah, he really is. He's a pill. But we've been very close friends for 3 or 4 years now. And we're barely able to talk about spiritual things even now. But I'm not giving up on him. Because if I don't build that bridge, and if Becky doesn't build that bridge to his heart, there's nobody else that will. And let me tell you about him, because this is typical of 60% of the people in Meriden, and you don't realize it. 60% of the people in Meriden have never been in church. That's absolute fact. And here's what they're like. They're like my friend. I got to talking, we were building an engine together over the course of a couple or 3 weeks, and so we were talking about stuff, and he told about his parents never went to church. His grandparents never went to church. That's as far back as we went. He and his wife have never been in church. She grew up Catholic, but since she married this knucklehead, she hadn't been in church. And he told me I could tell this story, too. It's amazing. He thinks it's cool that I talk about him. Their kids have never been in church and their grandkids have never been in church. 5 generations have never been in church. So when I say, well, 60% is unchurched, you tell me, yeah, well, we don't have any of those immigrants in our town. I'm not talking about immigrants. I'm talking about people that have been here for 5 generations that have never been in church. And it breaks the heart of God and it breaks our hearts. And that's what caused me to leave pastoral ministry in Los Angeles to go to do ultimately what this is, because God's heart is breaking for that 60% who have never been in church and they really don't know how to connect. And we just happen to be called to the piece that we understand the best, and that happens to be car people. And the way we minister is kind of like when I look at the Gospels and I think of, of how Jesus ministered. It's kind of like eye-to-eye, touch-to-touch ministry that he had. He didn't have big crusades. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He didn't have backpack handouts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what he did was minister to people one-on-one, like Becky and that lady yesterday. And the best example of that I can think of is found in Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to read very quickly from this very, very tiny print Bible. My daughter gave it to me a long time ago, and I told her every once in a while I'll preach from it just to make sure that I appreciate the gift you gave me. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There he met some people. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue, and he looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be open. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Now, when I look at that story, I have to think about what the deaf culture is like. I had the privilege of being the intercultural ministries director for a different network for a few years, and that meant that I worked with the deaf ministries for a while. And I learned some things about deaf people that most of us don't know. When you think about hearing, think about what service would have been like if you could not have heard worship. The lyrics are great, but it's the music that moves your heart. How valuable is it to you to hear that special someone say, I love you? Or to have heard her say, I do on that special day? Or to have heard your child's first word? Or to hear your grandkids like mine do when we come in, Grandpa! And they come running and want to hang on your neck. How important is hearing all that? Picture a walk in the park without the noise of kids at play, or a visit to the seashore without the roar of the ocean. Then as today, the profoundly deaf are isolated from the rest of society, at least in part because their disability is not evident. Deaf people don't have a wheelchair. They don't have a guide dog. And so we don't realize they're deaf. And so they withdraw. And one of the characteristics you'll find of deaf people, even when they're comfortable with the crowd, that sometimes they get agitated in a crowd because they can't communicate. Now, texting is the best way to communicate with a deaf person, by the way. Because if they've got a phone and you've got a phone, you can have a conversation. But that's cumbersome. And sometimes they just get so agitated because they can't communicate. And they can kind of read what you say, but some of them, but not all of them can read. And they just get very agitated. And that causes them to back away from you and from the crowd. Now, not being Jesus' normal territory, because Mark made a point of saying that he was traveling, so this is not where Jesus was well known. This guy probably had no idea what was happening. So here's a deaf, and we call him dumb, deaf and dumb guy, or a guy with a speech impediment, that could not have possibly known what was going on. So here he is in a crowd, which brings agitation to begin with. And then he's meeting this man who he does not know and does not understand what's going to happen. So look what Jesus did. First off, he took the man away from the crowd. Notice that Mark says that. He took him away. There's the crowd. Here's the man. Then what he does is he does like a pantomime for the guy so the guy can begin to understand what's going to happen. Your ears. He pokes him in the ear. We're going to deal with your ears. And then he does. Now, it sounds like the way Mark says that he hawked a big old loogie. Can I say that in Meriden? He did not. I just don't, my Jesus doesn't do things like that. What he did, do you get what I just did? I can talk. You're going to talk. See, he's speaking the guy's language. Then in a very rare thing, he looks up to heaven. Not common Jesus does this in prayer, but he looks up to heaven. Why did he do that? Because the guy wouldn't have understood that he's about to pray otherwise. So he completely connects with who this guy is, with his culture, with his needs, with his situation. Very low key. He's not making a spectacle of it. He doesn't have a Jesus polo shirt and ball cap like we have for Highway Chapel. He's just ministering to this guy. And then he prays. Now, it's interesting that Mark tells us that when he prays, he sighs. And Jesus is God. Do you know that? You know that, right? Fully God, fully man. You know that doctrine. So why was he sighing? Got to ask yourself that for just a moment. I have a feeling, as I've thought about this story, and this story was just another Bible story until I started hanging out with deaf people, and suddenly I began to see things I didn't see before. I know what it's like to be burdened for somebody that can't help themselves. And sometimes that burden just is overwhelming. Maybe you have a family member that's ill. Becky's in terrible health. She'll literally crawl from the car to the bed tonight because today and yesterday take everything out of her. She had brain surgeries, back surgeries, knee surgeries, cancer surgery. She's a mess. And there's times when I pray for her, and I get angry with God because I know he can heal and he hasn't. He slapped me down the other day. He said, you don't have any idea what ministry I've got left for her. And then here yesterday, what does the lady ask her? Well, I don't know about whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell. Well, see, she wouldn't ask me that. But you know what it's like, because you've got somebody in your life like that, to be so burdened that when you pray, it's almost, oh God. Can you imagine the fact that Jesus himself took the burden of that guy and the burden of that situation, and he could feel the feeling that guy was having as he's praying. He's so burdened for this guy. And he prays and the guy's healed. Now the interesting thing about the story is Mark says, and he uses a Greek word there that means hyper, that they were hyper amazed. We are so jaded in the American church from Christian television and media that we don't get excited. God will speak in this congregation through tongues and interpretation or through prophecy, and we will politely listen, and then we'll go back to whatever we were doing as though God didn't speak. Right? We will see somebody being radically healed and we'll go, well, that's cool. Nice show. Well done, God. Right? That's kind of how we are as Americans. Now, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm as bad as anybody. But it says this crowd was hyper amazed at what they had seen. This one healing really impacted everybody else. Can you imagine what would have happened if yesterday Becky had touched that lady and suddenly she was dramatically healed? That would no longer have been a car show. That would have been an evangelism event. And we're trusting God for that, and we're asking you to join us in prayer that that's what's going to start happening in these places. But it hasn't happened yet, but it will. But Jesus healed this guy. They're hyper amazed. And then it relates back to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstop. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. What we look for Meriden, Jefferson Assembly of God, JAG, I love it, for Highway Chapel, what we look for is Jesus to be in all of his fullness and majesty and glory, and that healing water to flow, and people's lives to be radically transformed on a spiritual level, but also on a physical and emotional level as well. We believe in healing, and we know that's going to happen in ministry that's touch to touch, eye to eye, person to person, just like Jesus did it. And we know he still ministers like that today. On this day, Jesus was busy preaching to as many people as he possibly could, but he took time to touch the one in need. He took this man's fear and loneliness, because that's one of the ways you describe deaf people, is lonely. He took his loneliness, and then God touched the tongue of a man. Jesus communicated to the man in the way that he could understand. And he ministers touch to touch in the very same way here today. He's busy. He rules the mighty universe. But he takes time to minister to touch to one of his brothers and sisters in need. When he touches us, he takes on our fears, our doubts, and our hurts. He always communicates to a listening heart in a language that that heart can understand. Because guess what? My language and Becky's are two different languages. And he speaks it to me in my language and her to her language and you in your language. Does that make sense? I've had people say, well, we all speak English. No, we don't. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody from Alabama? I'm just saying. We were in Arkansas one time visiting one of her uncles. Her cousin came in and said, all we understood was daddy and motorcycle. The rest of it was, I had no idea what he was saying. We don't all speak English the same. We don't all speak the same language, but Jesus speaks our language. His ministry touch to touch is the model we try to follow in Highway Chapel. In their places, looking for someone that will let Jesus touch them. Always looking, always on the lookout, always saying, God, how can I be a bridge today from you into this life? Sometimes it's the opportunity to go have lunch with a bunch of crazy guys in hot rod cars. Sometimes it's the opportunity to answer the question, how do I know? Sometimes it's just being friends and building relationships with the friend that I told you before. The Spirit brings on empathy and compassion for the other person. And that comes, in our case, it comes from talking cars. When you've got somebody in your family or in your neighborhood or at your workplace that's desperately lost, one of that 60% that doesn't know Jesus, And Jesus says, I want you to be my agent of touch-to-touch ministry. He's not going to ask you to go in and get a theological degree before you talk to him. All that's going to do is confuse him. The more you know, the more confused you get to some degree or another. And some of us love having those what I call midnight discussions to talk about how many angels you really can put on the head of a pin. But really what Jesus uses is exactly, if you look at the Gospels, he didn't get into that kind of discussion with people. He talked to them on their level, in their language, in their culture. And that's what he does today. And he asks us to join him in that ministry, talking in the culture, in the language of the people that we're familiar with. And he's not, if you're not a car guy, if you don't understand what a cam is, don't try it. I mean, don't go to school and learn all about engines and think you're going to reach the car guys. But guess what? You've got a culture that I can't reach because you know about stuff and you've got a culture and a familiarity with things that I'm not familiar with. And you could be awesome at reaching that community. Communication is in a language in the other that the other one can understand is key to ministry touch to touch. There must be, and this is the thing that picture of Jesus, his sigh and his looking up to heaven really connects with. I'm going to tell you guys, I pastored for 25 years. Can you imagine putting up with this for 25 years? Oh my. I've preached some of the best messages I could ever create, and they didn't have the spirit behind them, and they were junk. And I've stood there and said, wow. And then I've gone to the pulpit, and I've said, man, this is the biggest pile of nothing I've ever tried to preach. God, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And just God moved in people's hearts. Because guess what? It is not by power. It is not by might. But it is by the Spirit of God that people are ministered to. It is not just the fact that we're there and we know Jesus. It's the fact that we're Pentecostal and we understand what the power of the Holy Spirit is. And that we know that not only could Becky have touched that lady in terms of her eternal position, but we know that God can heal, that God can transform. And we have to be saturated in that spirit. We can't have 1 minute of devotion on Monday and think that's going to deal with it on Sunday. We have got to be immersed in the Spirit so that He can give us not only the power, but the empathy. I only care about me in the natural because I'm just like you are. But by the Spirit, we then have the empathy to really connect to other people and the sympathy with their situations and connect. And then we can deal with their foibles. I'll tell you what, car guys can be crude. I get so tired of hearing the F word, I just want to throw up. Language is just terrible. And I've never seen so many smokers in my life. They don't do that much in California anymore, but because it's like the socialist state of California. They've outlawed everything. But here, it's okay, and I'm telling you what... But I don't care, because on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we spent time in prayer and the Spirit saturating us, and He gives us empathy and the sympathy to deal with Him. He'll do the same for you. As you attempt to reach people in your culture group, I don't really like electronics because they tend to go off. Then you have to stop and turn them back on. But I would say, that there are people in this room today that need Jesus' touch. That you came in hurting. You didn't need somebody to beat you up about winning lost people or to tell you about what they're doing with old cars. You came in and you could barely walk. You came in and your heart was so broken and you've done such a great job of hiding it for so long that nobody knows. And one of the things that Jesus spoke to my heart, you know, people that itinerate and speak, we have a group of messages we pick and choose from, and I say, Spirit, what do you want us to speak on? And as I was going through this message for you guys, He kept putting it into my heart. Somebody's going to be there that needs me to touch their tongue and put my fingers in their ears today. So you need to remind them I still do that in the church too. Somebody needs this model. You need to understand that Jesus knows your language and He knows who you are. And He knows you're hurting, and He's ready to do something about it. Today. Some really need this ministry so badly that I want to read a quote from one of my favorite Bible teachers to you as a close. And if you're here today, of course, we want you to join us in prayer. Every missionary says, without you, without prayer, we couldn't do it. And I used to think when I was pastoring, I thought, that's just what missionaries say. No, it's the absolute truth. Not only are we just like you are, we're husband and wife, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, with the same problems everybody else does, but we've got this 180,000 people that are breaking our heart. We need your prayer. We need your support on every level. But right now, I want to emphasize this. Let Jesus take you out of the crowd. Right now, spiritually, if in your own heart, right now allow him to transfix you. Feel his loving hands grip your head, touch your ears, hold your gaze on his face. There's a little chorus like that, isn't there? Look into his wondrous grace. Now with unstopped ears, hear him say, I did it all for you. Bethlehem was for you. Calvary was for you. The open tomb was for you. The upper room was for you. My living presence in the Holy Spirit is now my gift to you. That is the message of Jesus to the members of this congregation today. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity of sharing that.